9 seconds left. Leafs are not going to get another shot at it, it doesn't look. And time is now a sweeping shot, and time will run out.
Oh. It's happened again.
Oh, Joe Bowen, Jim Ralph in the booth.
This one's going to sting for quite a bit, so, got to make sure everyone just, whenever they go home to the summertime, make sure that come back as a better team, strength-wise, faster, quicker. We're getting sick and tired of feeling like this, so we got to make sure we're ready for this upcoming season.
Close to tears at the podium after the Game 7 loss to Tampa Bay, Mitch Marner. On Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690, along with Mitch Gallo and John Still, until 7 o'clock. Award-winning writer and broadcaster Michael Farber on the return of the Battle of Alberta. And much more coming up in less than a half an hour. But right now, at a time like this, I know I'm in the extreme minority. I actually felt bad for the Leafs and their fan base watching what was transpiring on Saturday night, but really since they won Game 5 and how they lost the series. And I think songwriters and authors, they know tragedy well. They know pain. So who better to tell us about where the city is right now emotionally than one of my favorite people in the city of Toronto. He is the editor-in-chief of the West End Phoenix. That's a community newspaper that is thriving. He started it, I think, out of his garage. He's the founding member of the Rail Statics and, of course, the Bedini Band. He's written many books about rock and roll and hockey. And I just found out a couple hours ago that he's working on a 50th anniversary documentary about the Canada-Russia Summit Series of 1972. Welcome back, Dave Bedini. Dave, how you doing?
Hello, fellas. I'm good. How are you?
We're good. I mean, this it was a remarkable weekend. I know it doesn't feel that way in Toronto, but in terms of the hockey and the drama and the storylines, but Toronto woke up today. Was it worse or a little better than Saturday night and Sunday night?
People are exhausted, Rich, I think. It's weird. I was at, we got together on Saturday to watch the game, and as soon as, the clock flipped to zero, the scoreboard, we kind of just, packed up whatever beers we had and drank in our coolers and went home. It was a really weird feeling. But, so I just think we're really, really, really just, and you can hear it in Joe Bowen's voice a little bit there, just the fatigue, I also think, there's no real hot point to focus our antipathy and anger around this time. Honestly, everything kind of worked out pretty well. The team was competitive. They lost by a goal. It was a great series against the Stanley Cup champions. It's a different feeling because certainly last year against the Habs, there was a lot of anger and, a rage and embarrassment and humiliation and that sort of stuff. None of those things this time. So it's kind of a new feeling. And, I also think after the kind of couple of years we've all gone through as a planet, it was sort of hard to summon real vitriol, and bile this time. So I just think we turn it over and I think it's more an act of study at this point, frankly, with this team and this organization.
Game 5, I thought that they were going to win the series because they were tested and they dug deep and they managed to come all the way back, and Jack Campbell knew he couldn't allow a third goal and he stopped Tampa, and all of a sudden the key players, they seemed to grow up in the last half of that game where you need to go to be a champion. And that's why what happened in Game 6 and Game 7 was a bit of a surprise, even though I did pick Tampa to win the series. I thought after Game 5 the Leafs were gonna do it. So
well, six games as well. They come back and even Game 7 they're down a goal and they tie it and stuff too. So there was there was pushback throughout the series. You'd think that it wouldn't take multiple situations, or it shouldn't take multiple years of having to learn that, but maybe it's going to take, maybe it's one more step. I that's the only way I can kind of rationalize it. But, and that's another thing that I think, yeah, for just what you were saying too, I think a lot of fans here felt good about the way they responded and stuff too. But you play 7-game series, it's not over in 5. You've got to win 4 and stuff. So it was harder coming back home too, because really, guys, the building, this Leaf building, you know, at Scotiabank, I've never heard it like that. That was also a triumph. The way fans listen, you know, you live in Montreal, you know what it's like there at the Bell Centre. We were close to that. And that was so great. And that was something we're celebrating just in the civic sense of sports and the way this team, the fan base responds to the team. Even watching, you know, Calgary last night and comparing the volume and the decibel level and excitement in that ring compared to Toronto, there was no comparison. People were on fire here. It was great. And yet that still wasn't enough, right? So that kind of leaves you empty-headed a little bit when you try to put that equation together.
With writer and rock and roller Dave Bedini on Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Okay, so everybody needs to decompress. What do you, if Brendan Shanahan by chance called you and said, "My friend Dave, what do I do here? What do I do to make sure that to give this team the best chance possible to not only get out of the first round, but to, you know, reach a Stanley Cup final or at least a conference final. What should I do?"
I must say, too, we are the masters of decompression. We're really good at decompressing. So it's like, I wish that would lead to kind of clearer, more salient answers. I think you saw, certainly with you know, those, the heads like cinder blocks and bodies like Mack trucks, the Tampa defense, McDonough, Chernak, and Hedman, big boys back there. I think you build out the blue line a little bit still if you can. I think you can probably offload and trade some scoring. You're going to have to. There's going to have to be a trade-off, I think, in order to kind of thicken that back end, that resolve, that determination, that maybe, you know, you saw the way the Tampa Bay were able to defend in the last 10 minutes. There's an art to that. The Leafs aren't good at that yet. And I don't know if they have the bodies yet to be able to do that. So maybe there's, everybody points to Nylander, obviously. Maybe it's just, you know, that card is too obvious to not play. And you're, you know, a couple of the things today locally have been, moving Tavares to the wing, and you split Matthews and Marner up, and Marner centers one of the lines. There's people have talked a little bit about that. I think the back end still, you know, I even think against Montreal last year, you saw that the back end was just a bit, you know, just a bit thicker, just a bit stronger. And that's not really part of the lineup now, part of the team. So that's what I would look at that. You know, defense does win championships. The goals are going to come. They can score. And maybe you just need to thin out that forward group and kind of move your priority elsewhere. So, yeah, that's what I would tell good old Brandon. But he won't take my call, Mitch, unfortunately. Maybe I have to write a book about him or something. That probably wouldn't help, though, if Lightfoot is any mark.
Well, and what about his GM? Is it as simple as the analytics people, the younger crowd, they like him, they like what he's done, how he's built the team, and he should stay? And maybe some of the old guard think he's had enough time and it hasn't worked. They've come close, but it doesn't matter. It hasn't worked. Is it that simple, or is it more nuanced than that?
I think he had a good off season last year. You know, Bunting and Camp were two great finds, cheap, and they contributed, and they were great in the regular season, great in the postseason. He flips Nick Ritchie for Ilya Lyubushkin. Mrazek's a bit of a mulligan, and who knows? Mrazek, listen, maybe they retain him. They don't move that salary out, and he actually provides like great insulation for Jack Campbell this year. So I think he's okay. I think the kids are okay. I think Dubas is okay, and I think Keith is okay. And I think they run that back another year, because bringing in, you know, Barry Trotz is he hasn't taken teams to the promised land either and stuff too. So I don't think they mess with that yet. I think at that executive, though, they probably have a year left in that to build it out and see where it goes. But I don't think they'll. Again, I really the situation and the playoff round against Tampa, they don't call for obvious changes. And why invent them if they're not there?
All right. Just in reference to Barry Trotz, Dave, that's he did win with Washington after Washington kept getting eliminated, right? I mean, he's the one who won it for them.
I stand corrected. I confusing him with Gabby. Yeah, you're right, he did. So, well, maybe, who knows? You know, I don't think that's not going to happen here. He'll land elsewhere, I think, too. But I think Keefe is good for another year.
Mitch?
Well, on the topic of Sheldon Keefe, Dave, I want to take you to the post game on Saturday.
We got a lot of respect in that line from their team, which is nice to see. It was a much different tone, a much different feeling of respect on the other side from what we've experienced previously. I think we're certainly earning respect in the league, but again, we're not in the respect game; we're in the winning game.
So, how is that going over in Toronto? And what's he trying to say?
It's not going over very well. That's kind of the one, you know, stab that's being picked at here. It also shows you guys know that Sheldon Keefe is still a pretty young coach. Like, this is still, a lot of this is still really, really new to him. He's pretty green. I think he's, you know, way better in terms of bench management and being innovative. But, you know, when it comes to that stuff, he's still got a long way to go. You know, ask him in a couple of years, I'm sure, like, that he'll you know, be mortified by that. I don't know what it means. I think it's, you know, a guy obviously in the wake of a terrible loss, and he's talking just to talk. But yeah, respect and I even find that kind of hard to believe too, that you can even kind of measure that or quantify that. You know, he's at the back of the line. I don't know if you can really hear what players are saying or, yeah, that's a pretty silly statement. And people are kind of dwelling on it, but there's not a lot of there anyways. At the end of the day, I don't think it makes much of a difference.
John Still.
Dave, and I agree with you in terms of sacrificing offense for defense, but speaking about what you were talking about in terms of the fatigue with the fan base, I think you have to, if I were a Leafs fan, I would point to another year of Sandin and Liljegren getting better. You're going to wait for another year for Matthew Knies. Who knows what happens with Robertson? Is that kind of how Leafs fans are feeling, in that they're waiting for the cheap young guys to kind of come in and potentially be that second wave, both offensively and defensively, that they've kind of been lacking come playoff time the last couple of years?
Yeah, and that's I think where you kind of, you know, when I mentioned before about like the study of the team, you know, as opposed to wanting to detonate it, you know, see, you're using those pieces to kind of move around, and you know, they signed the two Finns as well a couple of days ago, who look like they've, you know, they could impact down the line anyways, maybe even in the case of the defenseman, maybe even step in. But there's a lot of really intriguing pieces, and it's not the worst thing in the world that you've got two superstars, you know, leading your team, you know, at the top. And I even think with Matthews and Marner, there's still places for them to go in terms of setting records, in terms of, you know, where they take themselves in the regular season. Those are good problems to have, right? So, and Liljegren was great, you know, for the last month and a half of this year, and Sandin's going to be a good defenseman. So for half the fan base, this cupboard does seem bare, and the team does seem completely bereft of any kind of promise or hope fulfilled. But I think if you kind of step back and decompress, I think you'll see that, yeah, the story on this team is not even close to being written.
Let's bring it closer to home to finish up with Dave Bedini here.
We're going to get the gee-gee here in just a minute. I guess really this isn't surprising, Scotty. Here's where we'll get back to Lafleur now. 4 years out of hockey, but my goodness, how they love him in Montreal. And here it is. Here's Lafleur coming on the ice, and he is getting an immediate standing O. And this is the second one that he's got, and the familiar chant of gee-gee goes up. Would you have believed it, really? Lafleur, I guess Gilles Thibodeau. Lafleur with the puck, good play against the board by LaFleur. Now it's Miller is centering. Passes, Lafleur scores!
We don't have a tally yet how many goals he scored in that net, but you know it's a couple hundred probably, but Lafleur showing the magic in front of the net. He's able to take that rebound and put it right in the net, and what an ovation.
Scotty, I've never heard the other team score at an ovation like this ever at the Montreal. playoff park.
Well, Dick Irvin and Scotty Bowman were in the booth describing Guy Lafleur's return to the Forum and scoring 2 goals and 3 points as a member of the Rangers. Where were you, Dave Bedini?
I was at Momesso's in NDG. We were in town for a CBC Brave New Waves thing. And, yeah, we had the sausage sandwiches and watched the game on the two screens there. And, yeah, I was in Montreal. It was awesome to be part of that and be at Momesso's. Apparently isn't around anymore.
That's no, it is.
Tell me, but
no, it is. Oh, sure, it is. On Upper Lachine, it is. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. Nice to hear Gilles Thibodeau too mentioned in that clip. I think he walked out of a shoe factory, right, and made the Habs on that open tryout too. So, but yeah, no. God bless Guy and God bless Montreal and. You know, like, listen, another thing we haven't talked about, the Leafs, is you got to watch teams coming up in the rearview mirror, too, because Ottawa and Montreal are going to turn a corner and stuff, then it's going to get really interesting. And we got the Battle of Alberta, and hopefully get another battle of, between our two sides coming down the road.
So inspired was Bedini with the Rio Statics munching on sausage supremes and steak subs at Momesso's on Upper Lachine.
Yep.
That Dave decided to write a song about it. So we're going out with this. It's called Guy Lafleur. I think it's called Guy Lafleur.
I think it's called Guy Lafleur.
Great talking to you as always. Hope to see you soon.
Yeah, man. Long overdue.
Take care.
All right, guys. Ciao.
La Pierre. La Pierre. La Pierre. La Pierre.